the Gevalah of Schools today to have with us a group of Rabbanim that came to see the Yeshiva. That itself, that people are coming to see the Yeshiva, the Gevalah of Schools. It seems that our name has gone out. Some are hoping for good things, for good reasons. Baruch Hashem, they have a group of Rabbanim from Yeshiva Zohar Yitzchok who came, and we have a Gevalah of the Murray of the Schools to have with us. When the Magidim of America, Adam Hashim Ma'ad Ma'oi, the official shaft is coming to address us and give us chizit. Please listen attentively. Shukra, Shiva, Rabbanin. Really, I think that the introduction was a little bit overrated. With an introduction like that, I almost can't wait to hear what I have to say. Tell you a shtickle nicer that a couple of years ago, I spoke in Lakewood to kids. It was a convention of Avos Ubanim kids. And when I walked into the hall, there was approximately 3,000 kids over there. And they all got up and they started singing Yom Ali Me'melech when I walked in. Which I tell you, it felt good. My hat got a little tighter, you know, my head struggled with it. Mati Zion's a person by the day, is a good friend of mine. So I was like telling him, it's not necessary. And for his part, he was going like, you deserve it. And this went back and forth and it's getting louder and louder. And finally I feel a very gentle hand on my shoulder. And I turn around and I see that Rav Malkiel, the Rosh Hashiva, walked in right behind me. It occurred to me at that moment that they were not singing Yom Ha'ayim Me'melech for me. They were singing it for the Rosh Hashiva. And the person by the dais who was saying, I thought he was saying it's okay, you deserve it. He was really saying, you know, it's a dreita to get out of the way, the Rosh Hashiva can't pass. Really not saying it. It occurred to me that after 120 years, many of us may be up there and face the same surprise. Olam hafach ha'isi. The Rabbi Hashem's way of judging things is very different than the way we judge things down here in this world. Rav Dessler says the cheshbon is pashut. Ashrei mi shebo lekan v'talmida biyada. So why does it say v'talmida biyada? It should say v'talmida b'moicha. It should say talmida b'levi. What's Talmidai B'yadai? I remember when I was assistant learning director in Camp Aguda many years, and the Talmud came in. The Rebbe came in actually holding his Talmud, kicking and screaming. I said, that's one shot for Talmidai B'yadai. A Pashup shot, what does it mean, Ashim Yishabal Kama Talmidai B'yadai? Since when is Limud HaTorah measured through hands? So Dessler explains that the emes, the schar for Limud HaTorah in Shemayim, is based on one thing. It's not based on how much you know. Because how much you know is relative to your level of intelligence, to your tfisa, to your zakarain, analytical abilities, whatever it takes. The schar for limud haTorah in Shemayim is not even measured by a smother. Because it's not the same for everyone. One person sits down, it's very easy for them to learn 2 hours. Another person sits down, and 2 hours is Gehenna for them. The schar in Shemayim for limud haTorah is measured by one thing. How much Mesiris Nefesh did you have to limit it? So we don't know down here how it works. Because Klapa Shemaya Galya, right? The biggest Goyim today is Batul Ka'afr Da'arish, Rabbi Kiva Eger. You compare Rabbi Kiva Eger to Rishonim and Achmayim, okay, we're not going to get into that. But Lamaisim Rishonim Kemalachim Anu Kibnei Adam. Somebody once came to the Sefer Rav Agav, and he said to him that he wrote a Sefer, he wanted a Haskama from the Sefer. So the Satmar Rebbe never gave us comments, except for one Sefer. Someone said, this must be a testimony to how good the Sefer is. The Rebbe said, no, it's a testimony to how good of a Nudji is. But this person wanted a Haskama on his Sefer. So the Rebbe asked him, what Sefer did you write? He said, he wrote a Sefer to fa'em for all of Rabbi Kiva Eger's Tzarechians. And the Rebbe asked him, you fa'em for all of Rabbi Kiva Eger's Tzarechians? He said, except for one. So the Rebbe said, it looks like that was the only kasha you understood. That's the Rebbe said. But again, compare, right, the Gra said, when the Chaim Belozhin said on the Gra, that he's ke'echad, like the times of the Beis HaMikdash. The Gra was very upset. You have a saga in the Yidden, the times of the Beis HaMikdash. Like HaRajbo, the Pchaim Elojna said it about the Gra. But each dar, kefi defrid the gadar, is knowledge is minuscule. So a ma'aser klapa shmaya galya, no one has knowledge. No one has knowledge which is reasonable knowledge that can be respected in a shemayim. So the schar for limit Torah explains of Dessler is based on one thing. It's based on Mesiris Nefesh. Mesiris Nefesh means you're learning and you're davening when you're not in the mood of learning and davening. The Shalvim is Indian of Ritzifus, right? People learn hours. One person learns an hour. And for him it's an unbelievable Mesiris Nefesh. We have no way of measuring it. Mara says if Elazar of Shimon was walking and he saw an Adam Mechuyer. He saw an unbelievably ugly person. And he said to him, very undiplomatically, "You're ugly." So he said to him, "Lechlum and Chesini, go to the Umar maybe." So Rav Elazar of Shimon followed him to ask him, "Mechila, want to be mother?" Came to the town, they hung up, they strung big lights, and they said, Rav Elazar of Shimon came, he said, "Him? You know what he said to me? He said, I'm ugly. Please be Michael." And so finally he gets on his hands and knees and he's Michael. The Gemara says, it was Eliyahu enough. It's just a test of Elazar of Shimon because Yafi Madrigosai, Abish is Medagdik, but Tzadikim, Kechot Asaira, there was a Mashu, Shimon Mashu of, he felt good about himself that there was a sin. Now, let's try to put things in perspective. Which normal, civilized person goes over to someone and says, "You're ugly"? Now, who does that? Little kid does that. Little kids do that. Because little kids say the truth. Schwab, Chalav Racha, once in a Mari de Gevart, he says, "Meshacharav Beis HaMikdash, who did Nevuah go to? Nevuah went to Ketanim and to Shaitan." He said, "Why to Ketanim and to Shaitan?" So he said a story that when he was sitting Shiva, I think over his paternal grandfather, him and his brother, so his maternal grandfather was up to Rabin, a doctor, and he came and he said to the kids, "It's the first time you experience death. You have to express your feelings. I want you to tell me," so Schwab said, he said to my brother Matza, "Tell me, what's on your heart?" He said, "Papa, papa, whatever, I can't tell you what's on my heart." He says, "No, I want you to tell me the truth." He said, "You won't be angry? I promise you I won't be angry." He said, "Okay, but it has to be the truth. It's the truth. So what's on your heart?" He says, "Why did that grandfather die? I wish you would have died instead. Because he used to bring us presents." So right away everyone froze, you know, like when someone got the fingernails, like, uh-oh. So he said, his grandfather said, "Listen, it's not his fault. It's not his fault. Because I told him to say what's on his mind." But he said, "Pshat." That pshat, v'shacharav beis hamikdash, the nevuah was given to ketanim and to shaitan. Why? Because only a katan and a shaitan says the emes. And nevuah can't be chal hasheker. Nevuah can't be chal hasheker. Right? Someone's going to ask you, "Is this a nice tie?" No one says the truth, right? But a shaitan will go over and say, "You're fat, you're ugly, you're this, you're that." He'll say what everyone else is thinking. And the katan will say what everyone else is thinking. So the katan is pure emes. Nevuah has to come at emes. Lamaisa, would Rabbi Elazar of Shimon go over to someone and say you're ugly? Zaktiv Tzadik, obviously shouldn't speak, that he never meant physical ugliness. He meant ruchnistic ugliness. He looked at him and said, "I see all the aveiros, I see what you watched last night, I saw what you did, I saw the bittul Torah, I saw the bittul Tefillah, I saw you sleeping light, I saw you missing Zman Kriyas Shema. You're ugly." In Cain, what was his answer? I was like, what did he answer? Lech l'umen shesim. If that's true. So then he's a Baal Bechira. It's not with the Uman. The Uman gave over the Bechira to the person. So he says in Moir de Kavart. The person who the Gemara says is the Laliyah, he answered the Belazar of Shem and he says, "Maybe you're a Baal Ruch HaKadosh. And maybe you could look at my forehead and you could see what I did." There is such a thing. And when I was in Yeshiva, there was a Mashgiach, everyone said that he could see what's on your forehead, what you did last night. I don't know if it's true or not. I can tell you one thing. When he walked into the Medrash, you saw 1,000 hats go like this. You are the Medrash. But there is such a thing. He said to Rabbi Elazar of Shimon, maybe you could see physically I did a Veira A, I did a Veira B, I did a Veira C. And you could see I only learned 10 minutes last night. But the Nesyonites that I have, the Darg of Mesiris Nefesh that I have, if I looked at the wrong thing but the 10 times I didn't look, that only one Rabbi Shalom. Only the Rabbi Shalom himself could measure the Metzias of my Mesiris Nefesh. And the Metzias of Mesiris Nefesh is constantly changing. What is the ultimate taitch of Mesiris Nefesh? It means doing something difficult to do. Many years ago, I had a friend who called me up and he said to me, he's going through a very difficult time. He said, "Do me a favor, please, give me an eitz." That's what he asked me for. Give me an eitz. So I'll tell you what I did. I was going through a difficult time. God, I had a shtickle crisis. And I made up that I'm disconnecting the radio in my car. Because if I disconnect it, the kids won't hear Kalisha, and I'll be forced to bring along Shiurim to listen to him. But if I keep it on, I always turn it on. So I had it disconnected. I went to my mechanic. I told him I want it disconnected. He said, why are you doing that? It's the only thing in your car that works. I said, do me a favor. Kalisha, I was just disconnected. He disconnected. He first disconnected the horn and the lights until we got to the radio. So I said, maybe you do the same thing. Maybe you do the same. He says, I'm not going to disconnect it, but I'm not going to make up. He drives, he lives in Chicago, he drives 3 hours every single day to work. He called me up one day, and well, a couple of days afterwards, and I get a phone call in Yeshiva, long distance call, it was before cell phones. He says to me, I did your Eitzah, I was already waiting to hear my fist. And he tells me, you know what happened to me today? I say, yeah, let me hear. I'm going to think which speech I'm going to use it for. And he tells me that I'm driving already 3 years to work and never got pulled over for no seatbelt. Today I got pulled over, got a ticket for no seatbelt. So explain to me why today was the first day that I said I'm going to listen to Shiurim, I'm not going to listen to the radio, and today I get a ticket. What do I learn from this? So I said, what you should learn from it is don't ask me answers. That's what you should learn. calls me back the next day, I said, uh-oh. Now what happened to me? Speeding. So he tells me, you're coming to Chicago. Why am I coming to Chicago? So you're coming to Chicago. So when am I coming to Chicago? He says, tomorrow. He says, I hate to tell you this, I'm a Rebbe. Okay? I took off now, but it's limitatory, but Stam is like, I really don't take off. He said, no, you'll leave at 3, you'll be back at 9 the next week. Can you tell me why I'm coming to Chicago? No. Told my wife, I may be home late. She said, where are you going? I said, to Chicago. Why? I have no clue. I told my kids in the class, I'm going to Chicago. Maybe going to Chicago. He said to me, Rebbe, when are you going to be back? He said, tomorrow, 9 o'clock. I said, I weren't very happy about that. So at 3 o'clock, my mama had no clue what was going on. I walked downstairs, and the whole class, well, now the whole yeshiva was into this. And there was a taxi waiting for me. I had my thousand to him. And I got it. And we got there. It's a true story. And we got there, and I'm on the plane. I'm sitting next to another yid, and he tells me, you're going to Chicago? I said, yeah, I guess so. He says, why are you going to Chicago? I said, no clue. He says to me, are you normal? I said, I don't know. We land. He picks me up at the airport. This is honest. Honest to goodness. We're sitting there, and that's probably the term I shouldn't use. Anyway, we're sitting there, and after a half hour of schmoozing, I said, by the way, he says, why am I here? He says, you'll soon find out. We come to a hall. He said, you're making a bar mitzvah or a simcha. Tell me about it. What do you have to do this for? We come to a hall. We come into the hall, and he starts talking. And I realize it's a Sudas Haidah. And basically what he's telling me is that they were driving on the highway, and he was driving on the highway, and they have these tractor trailers, which are like two trailers, and the back trailer fishtail. I up until that point, did not know what the term fishtail means. But apparently a tractor trailer, when the two of them are connected together, there's a main steel cable, and then there's like chains just in case the steel cable snaps. So this steel cable snapped. So if not for the two chains, the back trailer would have gone by B'Shalom. But because it held onto it, but it wiggled, it sideswiped his car, and his car went over an embankment, tumbled over a couple of times, landed on its roof. And they got him out, and he spit blood. They thought it was internal bleeding. They rushed him to the hospital. It turned out he just lost the tooth. That was it. And there was one thing the state trooper told him. He told him if you were not wearing your seatbelt, there was no way in the world you would have ever survived this. Impossible. You would have never survived this. So he says to me, you know, I would have never worn the seatbelt, not for this story. And this story saved my life. So he said the shiurim saved his life. So then he was mechabed to say a few words. And I said, I don't want to throw any mizuk salt to the winds, but I'm going to suggest something. I'm going to suggest, I want to ask you a shayla. On day number one, when you got the ticket, so I want to ask you a question. What happened after you got the ticket? Did you press the eject button, throw the tape out the window, and turn on the radio full blast? He said, no. Once I made a Kabbalah, I said, I would venture to say, that what saved your life was the fact that here you go, I'm a Kabbalah upon myself, I'm going to sit and learn, I'm not going to listen to anything, and boom, you get slapped in the face for it. And what do? You go vayter. Okay. I get slapped in the face, I go vayter. That is the ultimate Mesiras Nefesh. The ultimate Mesiras Nefesh is doing something when you're not in the mood of doing it. And that is B'yoyim Hazeh Bo'o Midbar Sinai. Why B'yoyim Hazeh? Because on any given day we're not in the mood of doing something. And yet we're doing it. The Nefesh HaChayim says that from Sheshes and Eberesheshes until today, there never were two Shmon Esrei that were alike. Never were two Shmon Esrei that were alike. Why? Because the emotional mix in a person's heart is never the same. A person has a complex mix of many emotions, whether it's depression or anxiety and challenge and good feelings, bad feelings, hopeful feelings. It is never ever the same mix. And therefore, the Shmon Esrei that you're davening at any given moment, you will never have that opportunity in your life again. Because who you are at that minute, you will never be again. Which is why if a person loses one tefillah, it's a tefillah that he will never have. And that's the di'ata in Shemaya Tishma B'Kaili. Di'ata, right now, in your mood right now, when you have every reason in the world to give up. The Magen Avraham says that the Hais of Moshe Yamechad Midata, he goes in Yom Tov She'en Yishol Golis. That was the Hais of Moshe Yamechad Midata. It's a remnant. The Magen Avraham in Arachayim. The Eretz Yisrael from the Kozlok HaVerav is Moisev on that. He says, what's the Indian of Yom Tov She'en Yishol Golis? Speak of the Yom. We don't even know if it's Yom Tov or not. You have people that are living a life of confusion and hastarois and esyainois. That's what it represents. And from that svegen, it's Yom Tov. You want it to be Yom Tov, Rabbanu Shalom, it's Yom Tov. Under those circumstances, Moshe Rabbeinu said that the Ikr Kabbalah Satorah is telling him that. And Moshe Rabbeinu pushed off the whole Kabbalah Satorah just for that nekudah, just for that inyan. That a yid davens a Yom Tov to kadavening when he's not in the mood of davening. Then we daven a shachris or we're not in the mood of davening. That's the vi'ata. Everything hinges on that. I want to be a Messiah and a Meiser. It was the Shatzer Rebbe. It's an Ish Kodesh. I'm sure the Gemasmid. He passed away in England and he left the Tzavod and whoever comes to him on Erev Shabbos is the Kabbal and Indian Toiv will be a Melitz Yosher Baba. Meiser Shoyda was a Bacher here in Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim the Gebacher, as soon as you got him a Kashidach, it just wasn't happening. It just was not happening with a Shidach. It wasn't going. And they decided to send him to America, and he didn't want to go, he was scared, he's off. And the plane had to make an emergency landing, and it landed in England. And he realized, by the time they fixed the plane, he would run into Shabbos problems. He got off the plane, his peklich, his eklich, which is that, he was petrified. He made it to Golders Green at Stanford Hill, one of the Yiddish sections, and he stood in Mamish and his mother's crying, and a Yid came by, he said to him, what's your problem? He told him the whole story, he said, leave me for Shabbos, what's your problem? Where are you going now? He's going to the Shabbos, he goes every Friday. So he went with him to the cave, and he told him, Taka, you're going for a shidduch, be makabal upon yourself something. So he was makabal upon himself one inyan. He said, you know what? I'm always late coming into Shabbos. 15 minutes before Shkia, twice the Shabbos. I'm makabal upon Shabbos upon myself. Right? Chol Shabbos is the holiday, so you can still do it then. I'm makabal Shabbos upon myself. Okay? 15 minutes before Shkia, it's after the plaque. Makabal Shabbos upon himself. Believe that, but he's doing it. A whole hilach advarim. The next week till he got to America, but somehow he got to Muncie to his uncle 5 minutes before his night. And he said, quickly, find your bekasha and come to shul. You go to the mikvah later. He opens up his suitcase, and his bekasha already had tefillah, covered Shabbos, it was roiches. Fond of yodah ragu of bechamin, but it wasn't toothpaste. So his high bekasha was dripping white toothpaste. So he grabbed the brush and started rubbing. He's 5 minutes before Shia. But he remembered this Kabbalah. He said, look, it was Billy Nebbe. Who says I have to start now? But he decided at that moment, he said, you know, trying to become a chassan already years with a clean bekesh, it didn't work. Let me try with this one. As if to say, I did everything up his seichel, it didn't work. Let me go help a chaseichel. Let me go with mysterious nefesh. So he walks into the Beis Hamikdash with his toothpaste dripping bekesh. And everyone starts saying, what's smelling here? He's embarrassed out of his wits. And he's standing up front, and he takes a sefer, he's so embarrassed, he takes like a Rambam, the biggest Rambam he could find, and he's holding it against him, the whole davening, people come and give shalom, he doesn't want to turn around, he's so embarrassed. After davening, he was hoping everybody would leave before he doesn't have to turn around. So look, there was a yid standing there, and he's Mavasedra Shemois, was Pasha Shemois, he's Mavasedra Shemois, very Rebbeinu Shalom, he's up there, finally, the guy leaves, turns around, he comes out, he comes home, his wife is and says, that was you, and she starts telling him about a Kabbalah, why did that? And for whatever reason, the shidduch that he came for somehow decided to cancel the shidduch. They weren't interested in a dentist, and that was it. Before he left the Yerushalayim, somebody called it a different shidduch. And by the end of the week, he was a chassan. And the father of the girl got up at the vark, and he said, as I'm ice, he said, I wasn't even holding by doing a shidduch with my daughter. But my sister Shoyit started to rain, and went into the smedrish, and so it's a bacher davening with such vekos. Not once did he turn around the entire davening. People came over to give a shalom aleichem in the middle of davening. He's only there, and mamish gone there. Mamish like mice. He ran after davening. He stood another 2 hours. Mamish learning a kliya. He said, "I need him for son-in-law." He got him. There is a nekud in our life, which is a nekud of mesiras nefesh. The nekud of mesiras nefesh means that I'll start learning tomorrow. I'll wake up for shachris tomorrow. Anything but not right now. Diva'ata b'shemaya tishma. The hayam, the hayam yir b'necha g'chadasha, no. The now will never ever be repeated. That is the nekuda of mesiras nefesh that is mamshech hold the brachis in Yeshua Yisrael.